Well, thank you for being here this morning. I know that there's been an increase in COVID, and there are many watching from home, and we're thankful again for one of those blessings that God worked out, that we're able to have our services, and those that need to be at home because of immunity compromised lives can be there and still participate in the service. So we welcome you, those that are watching online. And that brings one of the things that we can be thankful for. We know that we kind of rush the things as far as going online and having our sermons recorded and up on the website, but that's opened up the door for the pulpit ministry to be global. Folks from overseas watch on, and from Mexico and from different places. That's a wonderful blessing to us, and we're thankful that the Word of God can go out and the gospel can go out as in regard to these things. But we want to remember we do this annually because it's important for us to remember and to give thanks to God. And we remember the purposes that He has for Grace Bible Church. The end of the year review is our expression of thanksgiving for God's blessings on the life and work of Grace Bible Church and for the treasure of His presence and favor. So we want to focus our minds, our attention upon what God has done, His goodness and mercy to us, and be mindful that He is indeed working all things together for good. And we want to remember His presence, the blessing of the work and the grace that God has displayed through each of His people, through each one of you. And that means that we're very mindful and thankful of your sacrifices, of your service here at Grace Bible Church, just for the many things that God has done, that His Spirit has done, as you have made sacrifice, both financially and service-minded and service-wise, in regard to His glory and His kingdom. And remember that we want to love the things that God loves and direct our attention to Him and to His will for us as God's people. So the purpose for the end of the year review is to remember the Lord's goodness and by giving thanks to Him. So if I can, if you just give your attention not to me up here, but to the Lord God this morning, that we can remember and think about some of these good things. And you saw some of the Maddie's video that she put together there, PowerPoint presentation. And that's the life of the church body. Those teachers, that some of them risking their health, realizing that, okay, COVID's out there. They are teaching our children and have stepped into those responsibilities. Some of them are older, maybe somewhat immunity compromised, and that's the willing offering of their heart to the Lord. For the Scripture tells us we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that the church's responsibility in equipping the saints and the ministry of the church is to reach those children with the Word of God and to teach them and equip them and to support families in their responsibility for raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's significant that sacrifices of service are made at Grace Bible Church. And we want to say thank you to you, but we want to say thank you to the Lord God for the work and the move of His Spirit upon His people to do the work of ministry at Grace Bible and equipping the saints and raising up children and ministering to families and caring and stimulating ourselves, as the Scripture says. So the Scripture tells us that we're to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So He is good. Lord God, You're good. We acknowledge Your goodness. We acknowledge Your mercy, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How important is it for us that we speak of the Lord and His mercy and of His goodness, especially in times when things aren't going so well, especially that we're reminded of His goodness, that the redeemed of the Lord are to declare His thanksgiving for His great mercies. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I want to ask, I'm going to meddle with you, but how much attention have you given to the Lord in regard to His goodness and His wonderful works to you and for your family? Have you spoken about it with your family? Have you acknowledged the things that we should acknowledge as the redeemed of the Lord? Those that have received His mercy, those that have been given such grace, those that have been redeemed from our sin and brought into the very family of God. Do we know and have we expressed thanks to God this year? I pray that we do it. I pray that Grace Bible Church will put her mind and set her attention upon giving thanks, because it's the expression of worship. It's how we worship, by giving God thanks with praise for His goodness and mercies. The purpose for the end of the year review is to grow in our faith in the Lord. It's so important, so essential for us that we grow in faith. And that simply means that we look at His character, that we understand the very nature of our Lord and God. We understand His attributes. And one of the things that I would say this morning is that God is on His throne in heaven. The earth is His footstool. He's God over all flesh. Regardless of whether nations tumble and fall and whether horrible things are happening in Haiti or in the United States of America, God is still sovereign. He's Almighty God. He's still in control. And He knows exactly what He's doing. And we know and we understand prophetically the events that are going to unfold and take place in our country and in the world. We know that there's trouble on the horizon in the future. We don't know when it's going to come. And we certainly want to stand and oppose that move in a global sense and the rebellion of mankind against God. Because bear in mind that the things that are taking place in our country are against our Lord and our God. Yeah, Psalm 2 is very true. That the kingdoms, the nations rage and the people imagine vain things, and the kings are in rebellion against our God, and the judges are saying, break the bands of God's law and of God's truth from us. It's rebellion. It's mankind's rebellion. And God wants us as His people to grow in faith in the Lord. The Scripture says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, our trust in God, our acknowledgement that He knows what He's doing and that these things are unfolding, and we may be called to some difficult things, and we may be called to some hardships, but it doesn't change the fact that God is good and that He's working all things together for good for God's people. These are things that are true, and our faith is essential. Our trust in the Lord God is essential and necessary for us as His people. Because we may be facing some difficult times, and we have a brother back here that's had to leave his home because of the hardships and the persecution there. And it may get rough this year, this coming year. But our faith needs to grow in our trust in the Lord and in His sovereignty. The purpose of the end of the year review is to encourage the weary. We want to encourage you in your walk of faith and trust in the Lord. And in doing that, we go to His promises. Faith is built upon the objective truth of what God has said to us, the truth of His Word. In the Scripture, Lord Jesus prayed, sanctify them by in Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And if we grow in faith, we are encouraged by the truth and the promises of His Word. Those promises are the things that we hold on to. Those promises that have been given to us, that He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You say, well, how do we pursue godliness in such times as these? And what exactly does that mean? It means that He has supplied everything that you need in Christ Jesus. And we may believe Him. If we grow in faith, we are encouraged by the promises of His Word. We rely upon the promises of His Word. We trust in the promises of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does that mean? It means that God knows everything. That, in fact, He, by His grace and by the power of Christ's Spirit at work within you, is doing in and through you. And that work that's being done, He's calling us to be steadfast, immovable, and to abound in the work of service in regard to God's will and calling for each one of our lives. And that fulfillment of His will and that abounding in His work and that labor that is being done on your part is recognized by the Lord. He not only recognizes it, but He says that I will honor those who honor me. That He is such a God that He will do in and through you what is necessary for us to do, and at the same time reward you for what He does in and through you by His Spirit. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's just phenomenal to me. That God empowers us to be obedient to His Word, and then He rewards us for being obedient to His Word. He actually does it in and through us through the promises of His Word. And as we lay hold of those promises, lay hold of those things, the grace of God does what we can't do in the human flesh. He empowers us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory and the power of God to do in and through His people what His people can't do. And then He rewards us for it. It is truly amazing. Galatians 6:9 says, do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So we want to encourage you this morning that in your labors and your sacrifice of service, that God knows, that He's aware of all of these things that He is doing in and through you. And He is stimulating the body and calling us to obedience to His Word. Isn't that awesome? That we get to participate in something that's not temporal, that's not passing away, but something that God says is eternal. And according to His Word and His will and His way, your service in Christ Jesus, that you offer up as a sacrifice because of your love for Christ, is a wonderful service, and don't grow weary in it. But know in those times of weariness, by faith, in that growing faith that we have, that we're to endure, that we're not to pass away, that we're not to grow weary, but that we are going to reap the benefits of God honoring those that honor Him, of God remembering what wonderful things that He has done through us. It still boggles my mind. How wonderful is our Lord? How awesome and gracious is He in the fulfilling of His Word and His truth and His will in our lives. We are so blessed by the Lord God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Fourthly, the purpose for the end of the year review is to value our labors properly. And I want to express that just in regard to thanksgiving to you because the scripture tells us that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that he distributes spiritual gifts to each person. You have a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift, when it operates, when it functions in the body, when you're stimulated to these good works, that spiritual gift is a beautiful and eternal and God-honoring thing. And we're thankful for it. And every act of service, though we may not acknowledge it, and it may not be mentioned, and it may not be pronounced in our church, Christ, our Lord God, never forgets anything that's done on your part in regard to love and the expression of that gift that His Spirit has given to you in the building up of the body of Christ. So thank you, Grace Bible Church, for your ministry, for how you have enabled the Spirit of God to live and act and work through you. We're so blessed by your labors and by your service. And we're very much aware that the very nature of spiritual warfare is that there's conflict there, that there's hardship there, that there's reason to endure. There's reason to be steadfast, for your labor's not in vain. And though we may not acknowledge many things that passes by and no one says thank you and none of those things, but we need to encourage one another. And we need to, at the end of our year review, remember and express sometimes appreciation to one another for those acts of service, for the expression of very person and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ as His Spirit works through His people in many, many ways in the body of Jesus Christ. It should stimulate us to unity around the gospel, unity around the teaching of His Word, unity around the expression of the gifts that the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus has given to each one of us. Value our labors properly. Scripture reads, therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, and yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us, listen to this, an eternal weight of glory. Do you believe that? Do you believe God's word? That light affliction is producing for you an eternal weight of glory. Those hardships and that engagement in spiritual warfare is producing in you an eternal weight of glory. And God will not forget. The Lord Jesus Christ does not forget. He knows it all. He knows every attitude, every thought. And the scripture says that at the bema seat of Christ, that the things done in secret and the motives of the heart will be revealed. Because you know why? Because Christ knows it all. He knows everything. He knows what motivates you. He knows these things. It's an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Things that are not seen, it's not part of this visible and material world. Now, one of the conflicts that we have with communism is that it's material dialectic, that it believes all in the material world, all in the temporal world. And it's an animosity against Christ Jesus. It's an animosity against our Lord. It is in rebellion against Him. And it's saying all things are temporal and our greatest pursuit is man's happiness. And we know how to do it because we're man and we're God, we're the only one that's God and we can figure out these things. It's all wrong. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you believe that? God's word, His truth, what is reality? What is reality for you? Does it involve what God's word objectively says about what is true and what is life and what is real? Is it eternal or is it temporal? Are we materialist, basically, or are we metaphysical? Are we spiritual? And Jesus said that we must be born again, that we must be given a new spirit and new birth. In the Christian life, we're brought into spiritual life. Spiritual life. We're given that which we did not have. And we see the unseen. We see the eternal. And we know the eternal. And we know it with confidence. And our faith is in those things which are declared in God's word. Things which are not seen. A fifth point is that the purpose of the end of the year review is to stimulate fruitful service. So in doing that, the familiar passage in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, this has been difficult, and there's a challenge for us. Is there not? Because many of our folks are not here this morning because they're isolating because of this COVID virus, COVID-19 virus. And so we are in a peculiar time where it's not wise for some of our people to be here to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But I want to challenge you, and I think it's something that we need to think about as God's people, about how we can stimulate one another and those that aren't here this morning and that you haven't seen for a long time because of this year, how we may stimulate them to love and good deeds, and how as the church body, that it's not just about being in this building together, but it's about having life in the body of Christ together and expressing concern and stimulating one another to love and good deeds and finding ways to meet and to encourage one another. We need to do it. We need to know that I haven't seen this brother for 6 months. And so I need to give them a call, or I need to maybe we need to Zoom with one another and just be able to see someone face to face that we haven't seen for a long time and let them know, hey, I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you and we've missed you. And there are many at home today, this morning, that are looking on. And they're longing to be here, but their health situation is such that they feel they shouldn't be. And we certainly would say under those circumstances that's their decision to make, and that's what they need to do. We acknowledge that in these circumstances they may need to do that, but it shouldn't lessen our concern and our love for them and our desire to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, because that's the objective. So maybe we need to have small groups of Zooming or something where you can see their faces again and let them know that you long to see their faces. So, and a sixth point here, we're to evaluate our effectiveness. And I guess I already entered into that somewhat. But are we looking, and as we look through the year and we give thanks for the things that God has done, we also need to look and say, well, where are these areas of need in the church body that we need to evaluate and we need to consider and we need to work on it. Sometimes, you know, you realize that And here I want to give you, I just want to say this. Oftentimes there's someone that comes up and says, well, this is a need in our body. I see this, and don't you see this? I've evaluated this thing, and I see that this is a need in our body, so you do something about it. Okay? That's what happens. Okay? I want to challenge you that if God puts a need in the church body on your heart, that He may be calling you to take some action or to think of some action that you may do to remedy the problem, because you're a part of this body. Okay? So don't come to some of the leadership and say, this is what you need to do. Maybe come to the leadership and say, this is something that God's laid on my heart, and I'm willing to take some action to take care of an issue in our church body that really needs to be taken care of. And I'll pretty much guarantee that the leadership of the church is going to say, wow, that's a great thing, and we will be glad to see someone step into that's been gifted and called to address a certain area in the church body that needs to be addressed. But let's always look and evaluate our effectiveness, not with criticism, but with a desire to step forward by God's grace to do what God would have us to do as His people. And so we need to evaluate our effectiveness. First Chronicles 4:1-5, or I'm sorry, Corinthians 4:1-5 says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy or faithful. So, if one is found trustworthy or faithful, but to me it is very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's heart, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Okay? So this is the Apostle Paul. He's dealing with the Corinthian church. And you'll remember that in the chapter before, in chapter 3, he lays out the teaching on rewards, that all of our works will either be wood, hay, and stubble. And he describes the work that's done in the flesh. When we do things in the flesh, it's worthless. When we do things in the energy of our own self and for selfish reasons, whether they're religious or whether they're pagan, they're discredited. They're wood, hay, and stubble. They're burnt up. But gold, silver, and precious jewels are recognized as those works that are done by the power of God's Spirit and by God's grace and in accordance with His will, where we're walking in the center of God's will and doing what God has called us to. And there's glory there. And there's praise that will come from God. And we don't have to wait to receive it from someone in the church body or from some other matter or means. But if we're trustworthy as stewards and as His servants, then God will reward each man and praise will come from God to each person. Okay, and the seventh point, review the fundamentals. We're to review the fundamentals. We're to do it every year. And as we look back and we evaluate where we are as a church body, and as we consider the past year, we're going to ask the questions again. And Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ Jesus. It's our objective. It's the purpose for the preaching in this pulpit. It's the purpose of the teachers that you have in the early hour and the children's teachers that you have, that this goal that the Apostle Paul expressed is that we're to proclaim Jesus Christ. We're to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that man who was lost in his sin, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died when we were helpless. He died for the ungodly. And God expressed his great love for you in dying. And we're to proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with wisdom that the man may be complete. And our Ephesians passage from chapter 4, and he gave some apostles and some as prophets and evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. It's our responsibility to equip you with a knowledge of God's word for the work of service, to the building up of the body. Did you know that that's God's will for you? That's his desire, that you as his saints are equipped for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith. God gives us unity around the gospel of Jesus Christ, that which I just spoke to you. He gives us unity in the proclamation of that, in the admonition that we are sinners and in need of salvation, in need of Jesus Christ. And he desires that we're to build up the body, that we may obtain the unity of the faith in the proclamation of that gospel, in the proclamation of that truth. And we're to have the knowledge of God. So we're to have the unity of faith, and we're to have the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. We just heard it this morning in our message there by video. And we, when we look at the God who speaks, we come to understand that he's given us this objective truth, and that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave, and everything is built upon that salvation in Jesus Christ in regard to any hope of eternal life. Knowledge of the Son of God. This is eternal life, to know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You're to be built up to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Scripture says we're to be rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ, which and the knowledge of God, to be filled with all the fullness of God. So what does God want? He wants you to be filled up with him. Filled up with the knowledge of who he is. Filled up with the greatness of who he is. Filled up with the perfection of his beauty, of his holiness, and his righteousness. And it means that we need to put things aside. It means that we need to keep pursuing. And we're all in the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh daily. But we're to give thanks to God. We're to equip the saints. We're to go to the fundamentals of his truth, that the man of God may be built up to the measure of the full stature that belongs to that fullness that's in Jesus Christ. This is our objective. It's our objective for 2021. It should have been our objective for last year. We need to evaluate how we've done. How have we done? An eighth point here is that we're to give thanks to our Lord. It's just the main thing that we do in 2020, is looking back and giving God thanks. There's three points that I want to make here in regard to giving thanks to our Lord. The scripture tells us for all things. That means for the bad part of 2020, we need to say, God, we know that you know what you're doing, and we know that your promise is that these things are working together for good, and so we give thanks. Not necessarily for the bad things. We don't have to give thanks for hardships, but we do give God thanks that his promise is that he's working those things together for good. Sometimes that works out in some anger that you have toward some person that maybe has offended you, or something that has happened that is unjust. And it's God put it in us. We have that sense of justice about us. And so our response often is to harbor those things, or maybe it's some other area where something really bad has happened, and you're not capable of saying that this is good, and God's not asking you to say that this is good. He's asking you to say that these things are working together for good, and because of that, I can give God thanks for these things. What happens is there's a release, because the scripture says if we forgive others, that God forgives us. And there's this release that takes place inside. And we let go of something that's really controlling our life in a bad way. And so God is brilliant. There's no one like him. He knows you exactly. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so if you're harboring anger or hatred or bitterness or such attitudes that are not Christ-like, he's saying, for these things, give thanks. And some of these things are very difficult, right? For someone that's been molested as a child or some awful thing that has happened. And how does someone give thanks for that? Well, they're not to give thanks for that, but they're to give thanks because God is saying, and there's a release that takes place. There's healing that takes place, because the scripture tells us that God's word heals us. And when we obey and when we follow after what he objectively tells us to do, we have deliverance, salvation. His grace works salvation, and we're made free. It is for liberty. It is for freedom that Christ has made you free. And you are to be free from these things that you may harbor. So the scripture says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you is to give thanks for the offense. God's will for you is to give thanks for any harboring of bitterness. Job 2:10 says, but he said to her, speaking to his wife, remember she said, curse God and die. Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Man, do we accept good? Do we accept adversity? The scripture is clear. And Job's faith, you know, if we're going to grow in faith, then we need to learn to accept adversity with faith. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Again, I want to say how much we appreciate you for your faith, watching your faith grow and seeing God's work of grace in your lives, and for the love each one of you shows as it grows even greater toward one another. And we want to encourage you to grow these things. Your faith needs to be enlarged. And if we're to evaluate things, we need to grow in our faith. And the love for one another, it needs to grow greater. There's no limit to what it means to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, and the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. He's asking us to embrace that and to love the things that Christ loves. And we're to do that as God's people. A second point is that we're to give thanks to our Lord for his magnified word. His word is magnified. Psalm 138:2 says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give you thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. Don't you want to see God's Word magnified in your life? Don't you just imagine that? You know, the Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His Word is magnified because in your life there's a portrayal of what His Word has declared to be true. And when our walk is ordered in God's Word, His Word is magnified. And I want to say this because it's more than just the spoken word. It's more than just saying truth. It's living truth and acting truth. His Word is magnified when we prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because we're walking in light of His Word, and it's being magnified in your life. There's nothing greater that we can do. There's nothing more eternal that we can engage in than the magnification of God's Word, because when the world is saying, go here or do this or go here and do that, we're in our lives saying, this is what God's Word is. Live this way. That's light. That's truth. That's the truth and light of Jesus Christ shining through His people. And you are to let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Heavenly Father. Glorify your Father in heaven. Magnify His Word. Be obedient to the Word of God, to the truth that He speaks to you. And know that it can't stop with what we say. It must go to what we do and how we live. We can't divorce those things that engage God's purposes for our life. We're to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for that's our reasonable service. Live in light of magnifying the Word of God. A third point is that we're to give thanks to our Lord with the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Him then let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, that give thanks to His name. Therefore, according to 2 Samuel 22:50, therefore I will give thanks to You, O Lord, among the nations. So, now if the psalmist says this, and if we're to give thanks to God before the nations, and I will sing praises to Your name, then we should be mindful that this is our calling. It's your calling to give thanks to the Lord among the nations. It's your calling to sing praises to God's name, because that's the act of worship. And that's glorifying your Heavenly Father. Oh God, let all the nations praise You. Let the nations praise You, O God. Psalm 33:2 says, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with the harp of 10 strings. May God bless us as we part from 2020 and move into 2021. With His Spirit and His grace. And I want to close the service with the praise team coming back to close us in a song, because we have to sing praises to Him with the harp and the lyre. And sometimes we do that with the harp, don't we? But let's give thanks to the Lord, and let's express it. And this is your offer of thanksgiving to God for the things that He's done. And the other thing, I'm going to close in prayer here, but I did want to speak to you just for a moment after the praise team plays for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We give thanks to You, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are Your works, O Lord. O Lord, You are our God, and we exalt You, and we give thanks to Your name, for You have worked wonders. Your plans were formed long ago with perfect fullness. You knew exactly what You were doing. We're Your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. unto good works which you before ordained for us to walk in them. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of you and of your glory, Lord. As the waters cover the sea, your glory will flood the earth. Let all the earth be silent before you. And grant not the desires of the wicked and further not their devices, Lord, but may the glory of Christ be manifested. The nations are in an uproar and the people devise vain things. The kings of the earth, they take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against you and against our Lord Jesus Christ. And they may say, let us tear Christ's fetters apart, his bonds from us, and cast away God's cords from us. But you sit in the heavens and you laugh, you scoff at them. You will speak to them in your anger and terrify them in your fury. And your word to us is be still and know that you are God. We should always give thanks to you, our God, for we are more than victors in Christ Jesus. We should always give thanks to you for Grace Bible Church, for you, for the brethren, Lord, that are here, are beloved by our Lord Jesus. And God has chosen each one of us from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by your Spirit and the faith in truth. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. To all generations, we will tell of your praise. In you, God, we have boasted all the day long, and we give thanks to your name forever. We will give you thanks, O Lord our God, with all of our heart, and glorify your name forever. We praise you, Lord, and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let us all give thanks to you, Lord, for your loving kindness and for your wonders to us. God, it is in you, the eternal God, that we have refuge, and underneath us are your everlasting arms. We pray that you would uphold us in the arms of your loving kindness. We give thanks to you, the God of gods, to you, the Lord of lords, to you, the God of heaven, for your loving kindness is everlasting. We give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations. And we sing praises to your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.